Welcome to Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petya Kolibova, that love coach who helps corporate women who have been pushed down and back due to traumatic relationship or childhood trauma in their past, which has caused them to see themselves not in a bright light that makes them people please and not show up the way they know they are capable of showing up. My mission is to help women who are on the path to heal from their past wounds, move through their limiting beliefs and internal blocks so they can guide other women through online coaching, which is that deep down what they are feeling they really want to do instead of sitting in their corporate job. Each week I will be offering an interview or an idea that will support you to leave behind what isn't serving you anymore and create a life filled with freedom, abundance, and purpose. No more hiding, no more waiting. The time to take care of yourself, to uplevel your life, is now. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining another episode of Unapologetically Abundant. Today, I have a really special guest with me, and I gotta admit, I was stalking her social media for months and months and months. So when she finally said yes, and we made it happen, I was super excited because her work, her energy, and her mindset are truly changing the world. So for those who never heard of Rebecca Ray, she's an author, speaker, clinical psychologist. Her message centers on the task of living bravely in the truth of our experiences as finders and seekers of meaning and connection. Rebecca has been clinical psychologist for over 17 years. She's the author of The Universe Listens to Brave and Be Happy, 35 Powerful Habits for Personal Growth and Well-Being. And she is working on her third book, The Art of Self-Kindness. It's due to release on September 2019. You can find her online daily, interacting with her community about finding courage and living inspired, expansive lives while going gently on ourselves. Rebecca, you are truly absolutely incredible. And I was one of those in your community. So thank you so much for making the time today.
Thank you for having me. It's a real honor to be here.
And I know that I just introduced you and write your bio. However, what I'm really curious about, if someone never heard of you and they meet mm-hmm. you in person, let's say, because I know you live in beautiful Australia, let's say that you're on your morning walk, sun is shining, you're feeling incredible, and there's a strange woman walking right ahead of you, and she comes to you and she was like, wow, you are so radiant. I love your smile. Who are you? What would be the one thing you would like this stranger to know about you that would really describe the essence of who you are?
I'd like her to know that I'm a human too.
I love that.
As simple as that, that I am just someone else traversing this life as best I can and trying to make a difference in the world. But first and foremost, that we are one. I am her, she is me.
That's beautiful. And you know, like you said, just simply put, because very often we overthink, we overanalyze, we are trying to like be perfect and say the perfect things and really like go into depth. But I truly have to agree that all we really want, it's the sense of belonging.
That's right.
To know that if it's possible for you, Rebecca, to live a fulfilled life, it's possible for other people too.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you do to stay this positive? Because always when I look at your social media and your quotes, and you truly seem so centered and aligned, and it just, your energy comes through and it's so beautiful and peaceful. It's so nice to come to you and really for the words of courage on inspiration. How do you keep yourself in that flow?
Okay. So it's an interesting question because you used the word positive initially. And the first thing that I would say to that is I don't feel positive all the time. And I would hope that that's evident in my work. I don't necessarily disclose on social media every time I have a bad day. But the thing is, I definitely feel the full spectrum of human emotion. And that means that I don't have a good day every day. Instead, if we're talking about how, I guess my approach to my own emotions is that in order to be living bravely, we must feel discomfort. There is no other way to do it. If you aren't uncomfortable in some way, then you don't need courage. You don't need courage if you're just going down to the shop to get some milk. So if you're going to live on the edge of your life in some way, then discomfort's going to show up. So I'm sitting here going through the same discomfort that you're going through when you're out there to do something in the world. I'm not sitting here feeling positive all the time. But my approach is to allow myself to feel that it's okay to have discomfort, as long as it's discomfort in the service of being aligned with your values, rather than discomfort about, you know, perhaps staying safe or staying in your comfort zone. Let me clarify safety, because there might be people out there that think it's, you know, I'm talking about getting unsafe physically or, you know, emotionally. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the difference between living a life outside your comfort zone and the difference of living a life in your comfort zone, where you shrink yourself because it feels more comfortable that way. But eventually what you'll have is discomfort about boredom and stagnation and loneliness and the discomfort of not reaching your full potential. So my approach is, when I have discomfort, is it discomfort in the service of doing something that's important to me? And if the answer is yes, then I just need to suck it up and accept it.
I love it.
Because that's how we do it.
Yes. So how do you distinguish when it's, you know, just the ego trying to like protect you and like, oh, don't go there, you know, like you might get hurt, or yeah, if it's true, you know, if it's true, like, oh, you shouldn't be doing it, because sometimes the ego and the intuition in the body, it might feel similar. So how do you decide between those two, which one it is?
I feel like one is usually stronger than the other. One feels more true and more authentic than the other. And one is normally running stories that are incredibly destructive while the other's not. So it's probably clear which one I'm talking about here. But when we're talking about the ego is the one that's going to kick in and scream at you to keep you protected from shame, embarrassment, humiliation, feeling rejected, all those emotions that as human beings we're designed to avoid. And instead, your intuition is the one that whispers to you, hold on a second, I think this is the path that you need to be on. Mm-hmm. So I come back to my values and I think to myself, is this aligned with what's most important deep down in my heart? And if my ego then kicks in with a story like, you're not good enough, or you can't do this, or you know, you're too late, or you don't have time, or whatever other story it's running to keep me safe, I come back to stillness to be able to hear my intuition. And for me, I need to talk about stillness because I'm a very racy person at times. So my mind moves very quickly. I like to get a lot done in a day. But if I don't stop and slow down, then I can't hear myself think. I literally cannot hear what my intuition is trying to say.
That's so powerful, Rebecca, because that's the thing. Like most of my clients, they're still in a corporate job and they're working on their hustle aside. So they're working on their dream. And they feel there is not enough hours in the day, in the week. And they feel that the only way how you can live like true to your dream life, it's keep hustling. And that's where I always pull them back. And I remind them that we are not human doings, but we are human beings. And we truly get to find the time for ourselves. And I love that you said that you find your intuition when you go into the stillness. So how do you, like, I don't want to say force yourself, you know, but like, how do you know if you are going into the stillness and doing nothing and just like, because I want to connect with myself and recharge, versus when is it like, I'm just being lazy? Because it sometimes it gets comfortable, you know, like, hey, this doing nothing and watching TVs or reading book, it feels good, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a big difference between mindful relaxing and the avoidance of some other form of discomfort. So and that's where we kind of tell ourselves that we're relaxing, but we've got Netflix on and we're scrolling social media on our phone, and we're trying to tick off something on our to-do list at the same time by posting on Instagram or whatever it is that you're doing. And your 1 year old, in my case, is, you know, tugging on your sleeve, wanting some attention. That in and of itself is not relaxation. So I think there's a big dissonance between being able to fully relax and allow yourself to down-regulate versus being able to get in touch with your intuition, because I think those two things are different processes for me. So getting in touch with your intuition is quite an active process for me. I create space for my unconscious to do its thing, but it's not like I then go and watch Netflix while it does it. So I might be, well, at the moment, we spend a lot of time driving in the car while my baby's sleeping. So, you know, you don't ever wake a sleeping baby, right? So if he goes to sleep, no, never. If he goes to sleep, we just keep driving. And if I take him for a drive to get him to sleep, then that's actually when I'll do some time connecting with my intuition. I don't have the radio on. I don't do anything else. I literally drive this beautiful drive that I love out in the country. He's asleep in the back, and I sit and I ask my intuition a question, or my unconscious a question, and I just give it space to answer. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I relax, I might be doing something completely different. I might be either sitting outside with a cuppa, or I might be watching something on Netflix, or I might be going for a walk, but I'm not necessarily checking in with my intuition. They're two different things.
So you are really intentional about connecting with your intuition, and you connect with it by asking the question, something that it's on your heart or something.
Yep.
So how do you then de-attach? Because sometimes we are so attached to the answer. We are so attached to, like, okay, I asked something, nothing is coming, so it's probably not working. You know,
yep.
How do you de-attach?
I get to a place, I think, where I allow myself to the time for my intuition to work it out. So if it doesn't happen in my time frame of a 40-minute drive, then what I do is I get to the end of that and just say, I'm here for you. I speak to my intuition as if it's another being. I'm here for you when you're ready to present me with the answer. Because I come to the place where it might not be the right time for me to have the answer. It might not be, I might not have given my intuition the right time to be able to do the processing that it needs. So as you know, when you process feelings, that doesn't just happen on, you know, a neat little schedule where you can say, like, by this time on this day, I'll be done with this sadness. Thanks very much. So sometimes we need to give the intuition enough time to be able to process stuff. It might not happen in that space. So I come back to my intuition and say, okay, well, I'm here when you're ready. I know that you'll present me with the answer when, at the time when I need to have it.
That's beautiful.
That doesn't mean I like it. No, I mean, yeah. I'm a very impatient person. I might throw a tantrum over that.
That's amazing. Yeah, because we are all, you know, very similar. Like, I want to answer and I want it now. So giving the space and the patience and really the trusting that it's all working out for us. Sometimes it's like, yes. But is it happening now? Is it now?
Yes, you know? Absolutely. I agree that when you come to this place of being able to trust yourself, trust in something bigger, whatever it is that you call it, it allows for a certain peacefulness to enter your life. But I think that practice of trusting really requires us to give up some ego safety, you know? Like, we love to be control freaks and have all the answers and know exactly what's going to happen next. And as soon as a little bit of uncertainty comes in, we run for the hills. So I do think that trusting is a huge thing that takes for me, it's a lifelong practice. I have to keep coming back to, Rebecca, stop being a control freak. You can't have all the answers right now. And in fact, some of those answers aren't yours for the creating. The universe, it will create that, or someone else needs to bring you information that will create that. And being very much a control freak, I don't like that answer. But I do commit to the practice, because what it invites into my life is a peacefulness I otherwise don't have access to.
And I think that deep inside, that's what we are all looking for, you know, just that peace in our life and heart, and that feeling of surrender, you know, that feeling,
yes,
of just being present and, you know, just letting go of all the expectations and the trying the control, because I just feel that it's sometimes funny. As like a human being, we are so powerful, but also if we imagine that we are the one who has to know it all and has it all in our hands, I'm like, that's just crazy. Like,
yeah. And a lot of pressure.
It is. It's so much pressure. And so sometimes it's really good to surrender and let it go. Do you have any practices of like letting go of that control that you need to know and you need to be the one leading it all?
Yeah. So let me just wind back a bit, because I just want to speak to this surrender concept. When we talk about surrender, I want to clarify that I don't approach surrender by this idea that you can then sit back on the couch and watch Netflix. I don't think life works like that, right? Life's not going to come to you. You need to do some of the work here. So when we talk about surrender and trusting and being able to just step back and let go, I talk about that in terms of also taking responsibility for your own sense of agency in the world. So you can co-create, right? You can do what is in your hands to do and then leave the rest up to, you know, whatever's about to be, you know, whatever the universe is going to present you with, whatever you're going to find along your path and whatever somebody else might bring you. It's not just throwing your hands in the air and saying, ah, excellent, I'll have $1 million tomorrow, thanks very much. And the universe will sort it out, and I'm just going to go and binge on whatever it is that you're watching. I'm watching The Good Place at the moment. So it might be whatever it is, whatever you choose to watch on Netflix. Maybe you don't watch Netflix, in which case, congratulations. I'd like to give it up and get some more time back, but I'm not quite there yet. So it's not necessarily about saying like, let's just give up life and, you know, expect everything to come to me, because I have treated clients like that. I have treated clients who are very stuck in that role of, you know, no, I put my wishes out into the world, so life should work out. We have a huge responsibility to take control of our actions, but not to take control over having all the answers. So if you're in times of uncertainty, if you're in times of transition or times of change, the practice that I would recommend for you is coming back to a place of stillness, getting out a blank piece of paper, and doing some writing where you write yourself a letter about everything that you trust in yourself and in the universe. It sounds simple, but it's actually a really difficult task to do, because it requires you to come back to remembering times in the past when you could trust yourself. And when we're in a position of uncertainty, that's when we usually trust nothing. And when our sense of control is highest, right?
Yes. So, but it's beautiful practice. I really never heard that before. You know, write down the things that you trust yourself with and what you trust in with the universe. So this is based on whatever worked out for you in the past, right?
Exactly. So if you go back to your memory archives and think about every time that you've showed up for yourself in the past, every time something has occurred when you had your own back, write a list of all those things and then write down, what are you giving to the universe that you don't have answers for right now, to just put your trust out there? So it's essentially a trust letter, but the process of physically writing allows our thoughts to slow down. So if you're anything like me, your mind moves much faster than your hand. So when you're I encourage people to handwrite this letter as well, not type it. But if you handwrite, then what happens is the neural pathways in your brain and the neurochemical messages in your brain are forced to slow down a bit, so that you can also gain clarity from that exercise. It allows you to come back to a speed where you can put the pieces of the puzzle together. Well, at least the ones that you have at hand in your unconscious. You might not have all the pieces yet.
I love that. And of course, I knew and heard about the power of the writing, but I never heard it this way. And I really loved it, because like you, I'm like thinking quick and I'm like, I cannot even say that quick, you know, as it's happening in my mind. But you're so right. When we're writing, we get to slow down, and that's what can bring more of the clarity, instead of like 10,000 miles thoughts, you know, that's beautiful. And a trust letter, that's something that I believe that anyone can benefit no matter where you are in your life, knowing that you are always supported and it doesn't have to be all on the universe. You are here listening to this podcast.
Yes.
Because you survived. And if you're listening to podcasts, that means that your life, it's not that bad. Yes. So knowing that you guided yourself to this place and acknowledging it, because what I find out in many women and many of my clients, they are from one thing to the next thing, and they forget to acknowledge themselves for what they were working on so hard. Last weekend, I hosted my first live event, and we were just sitting here. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that was the last week. And it was beautiful and powerful and nerve-wracking and full of tears. And it was amazing. And I'm like, wow, we were working on it for 4 months, which really felt like not enough time even. But then in 1.5 days, it's over and we're already planning the next thing. So slowing down and really acknowledging what we have accomplished, I think it will bring us more, you know, like more peace and confidence.
In that acknowledgement process, one of the things I find really helpful is to do it out loud with someone that loves you and someone that's got your back. So I often do that process with my wife, and we will sit down when the baby's asleep. Don't be interrupted.
Please speak low.
Yeah, that's right. We sit down and we'll grab a cuppa and we'll go somewhere that we feel inspired. And we actually write a list for each other about what we've achieved and what we've accomplished in the last, whatever time frame that we're doing. And it allows us to come back to, wow, look at these things that I've done. But it also means that something that you might not include on your list, if you did it by yourself, is included by the other person. So she might say, no, hold on a second, I'm putting that on your list. I'm putting, I recorded some videos the other day that I hated doing. So I actually hate video. It's not my thing. I don't like it. It doesn't resonate with me. And yet in the social media world, we've got to do it, right? So invariably, I throw a tantrum every time I've got to record some videos. I'm just a shocker. Like I'll put it off. I procrastinate. I go and hang the washing out instead. And I'm not a very nice person to be around just before I'm about to do the videos. I get all like huffy, like, no, I don't want to do it. I'm basically a child. And then when we were doing our list recently, I didn't even think about those videos. And she said, I'm putting those videos on your list. And I said, no, I hated those videos. And she said, hold on a second, let's just wind back and get out of the feeling. It was the courage that you showed to do those videos, to be able to put your own discomfort aside and do something that was for your community, that means that I think those videos deserve a place in your list. So the process of bringing someone else into this acknowledgement, into this credit giving kind of process, I think can be incredibly powerful for getting you to look at yourself with a different perspective. And that's one of my favorite ways of doing it. That resonates with anyone.
That's so, and I'm doing it tonight, just so you know.
Great. Good timing.
It's amazing because like, I never, like what I did in the past was doing it like a mirror work, like really take a deep breath. Hey, it's really uncomfortable sometimes to look at yourself in the mirror and giving yourself compliments, you know? So doing that work, but having someone who you love, who you trust, who will, you know, that's sometimes what I feel like. It's, I love being a coach because it's so easy for me to tell others what to do. It's more fun. But also I see the greatness in them. They're in their own world and they see what's possible based on what they lived. I see the possibilities ahead of them. So it's, for me, it's so beautiful to empower my clients to truly live the life they deserve. So knowing that someone can see the same greatness in me, and my lover does, you know, like always see the best in me, even when I take it for granted. It's like, throw like a live event for over 60 women in the room, you know, and we had like 2.5, like 2 days. So it was like in and out, like the numbers. I'm like, Wow. Yeah. But it wasn't that bad. He was like, well, you did it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
we don't acknowledge ourselves because it's already done. And, you know, if I can do it, everybody can do it. So I'm doing it and I'm tagging you just so you know.
Do it.
Yes. It's amazing, Rebecca. And it's, I swear I could be sitting here with you for hours, and I want to thank you, not just for your time, but now knowing that you hate the videos, you sitting here with me, I'm like, wow. And now I feel special because you did such an incredible job. So for those who are listening on iTunes or Spotify, you got to go to YouTube to see her brilliant smile and, you know, her energy. And I really acknowledge you for that. So please tell your wife to put it on the list tonight, because
I will tell her. Thank you.
Amazing job. It's
thank you.
And that's the thing, you know, I know that all your work, or a lot of it, it's around being brave and doing yes. things that don't feel comfortable at the moment. So I really want to acknowledge you yep. for doing it and truly thank walking you. Your talk and showing other people what is possible. And I'm super excited for your next book. And let me know how I can support you, because the world really needs your work.
Oh, thanks, Pedia. It's been an absolute pleasure to have this conversation.
And I know that you said you love hanging out online. So what is your favorite place to hang out where people can find you?
Instagram is where I'm at most regularly. So you'll find me on all the socials with the handle of at Dr. Rebecca Ray, all one word, basically, at Dr. Rebecca Ray. And most of the time I'm hanging out over at Instagram.
That's where I find you. So I can attest it. I was hunting her
yes.
on Instagram and sharing her quotes and your work. It's incredible. I truly appreciate you, Rebecca, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.